having the speaker for the day, but I'm going to go through two scripture passages first. I chose one from the Old Testament and another from the New Testament. First, the Old Testament reading is from Psalm 98, 4-9. Shout for Lord, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song and with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains together for joy, sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. And then from the New Testament, Galatians 4:4-7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full blessings of sons, the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit into your hearts, the Spirit who called out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. This is the word of the Lord. So, good morning. Thank you for being here this morning and allow me to spend some time presenting this last message of the year 2024. It would appear that the pulpit supply list is shrinking. My theological knowledge is about 6 inches deep and about a mile wide. Plus, I don't consider myself a very prolific writer, and I'm certainly not a great public speaker. Today might not even be a great public reader. But for your benefit, I will attempt to keep this short. So, Rose and I were introduced by mutual friends in the first half of 1987. We started to date regularly by mid-year, and by the start of the holiday season that fall, we realized we were becoming serious. We didn't, or at least I didn't, fully understand that there was a timeline involved. But that's a story for another time. Anyway, to demonstrate my growing affection for her and a commitment to our relationship, I thought it would be charming and maybe a little bit romantic to play out a version of the holiday song, The 12 Days of Christmas. So, I would drive to her apartment each morning before she would leave for work and leave a card or a small gift on the windshield of her car. I know you've all heard the song before, but I want to share with you just a couple of the verses. Well, before that. So the song itself, the exact origins and the meaning of the song are unknown, but it's highly probable that it originated from a child's memory game. In the song, there are 12 days, starting with Christmas Day to the day before Epiphany, which is the 6th of January. The lyrics of the song detail a series of increasingly numerous gifts given to the speaker or recipient by their true love, that'd be me, to each of the 12 days. I want to share a couple of verses. On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree. In 1987, it was hard to find a partridge or a pear tree in northern Illinois. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 gold rings. Little did I know at that point but the exchange of rings was not too far into our future. The song concludes with the 12th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 12 drummers drumming. At that time, I had strong ties to the drum corps in Rockford, and I could have made that happen, but I did not think Rosen's neighbors would appreciate them showing up before 7 o'clock in the morning. So let's move away from my personal story, because the lady sitting in the seventh row on the north side of the church is getting kind of tired of it. So what does the 12 days of Christmas look like for us today? More glitz, glamour, lights, camera, action. I've even seen a local television commercial offering Christmas-tide discounted foods and other gift items if you are the first caller at the end of the program. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Most of what I've shared here already revolves around the made-for-TV Hallmark version of this specific time on the calendar. But the commercial, retail, specular viewpoint is worlds away from the real reason for the season. I recently heard a segue, a transition between songs, on a Christian radio that I have dialed into my car. And it gave this thought. It's not about the gifts under the tree, but the gift in the manger. So, let's forget it for a moment, the tree, the gifts, the food, the parties, and the decorations, and focus on the nativity scene, the one in the Bible, that is. The Bible passages concerning the birth of Jesus Christ remind us that there is only one Christmas, the first Christmas. The rest are merely anniversaries. Listen to this example of one of those biblical passages from Luke 2, 4 to 7. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judah to Bethlehem and the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to their firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the inn for them. Before we get on to Christmastide, I'd just like to say a few words. We've just come out of the beautiful season of Advent. And the word Advent is derived from a Latin word that means arrival, and it signifies the start of an event or the arrival of a person. During the month of December here at Ebenezer, we have been consumed with anticipation around the arrival of baby Jesus. The four Sundays of Advent ask us to remember and celebrate the virtues that Jesus brought with his coming, and I'd just like to quickly take a look back at those four virtues. Hope. Hope grew from the manger, symbolizing that where Jesus is, hope is found. Hope also has us look forward to the second coming of Christ. Christians are called to reorientate themselves to a mindset of watching and waiting for Christ's return. Peace. At Jesus' birth, angels declared peace on earth, knowing people long for it. And by looking forward to Christ's second coming, Christ will come in judgment and peace and the expectation of the completion of his promises to us. Joy. This creates a shift from a tone of expectation of Christ's coming to one of rejoicing by reflecting on our blessings and the arrival of God's kingdom with the coming of Jesus. Love. We celebrate God's faithfulness in sending Jesus and remember that faithfulness as we look forward to Christ's second coming. Some other consistory members in attendance today may remember a book study we did by a German author, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That's a hard book study for me. But recently I read one of his quotes, and he says, "The celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come." I know that everyone in attendance here today knows that they are imperfect and is looking forward to the return of Christ. And now as we continue to move forward toward Christmastide, I'd like to say a few words at the beginning here of the history of it. For some churches and denominations, Christmastide begins on December 24th at sunset, which is liturgically the beginning of Christmas Day. So a portion of December 24th, or Christmas Eve, is not part of Christmastide, but Advent. I recently listened to a podcast, or what old guys like me refer to and define as an interview, of Cardinal Timothy Dolan from New York. The content and context or of a portion of his conversation described Christmas Eve like this, and it struck some symbolic notes or visions for me. He said, "It comes during the winter solstice, which starts in the middle part of December, which is the darkest time of the year, and at midnight, the darkest time of the day, we see that star announcing Jesus' birth." So, the symbolism that brought to me was, first, the darkness. They're out in the middle of nowhere. No street lights, no house lights, no, just darkness. And then the star, that beautiful star, lighting up the night so brightly that it frightened the shepherds. And it pointed to the exact spot at the exact time that our Savior was being born. So, thus ends Advent with that star. Melissa talked about it this morning in the children's message. And here we are now at Christmastide, but what is that? Christmastide is also known as Christtide, is one of the shortest seasons of the Christian calendar in most Christian churches. The traditional dates for Christmastide are from December 25th to January 5th, which is the beginning of Epiphany, which is the season that refers to the manifestation of Christ to the world. And that's just a little peek forward that we're going to pick up on, or Pastor Josiah will pick up on next week. Historically, tradition tells us that during Christmastide, every Christian home should have its own crib around which, on the days of Christmastide, both morning and evening prayers would be said. The intent was to teach the children to join with the shepherds in worshiping the Christ child, and through his grace that they may become ever increasingly children of God. On Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, it is customary in most households to attend a church of, a service of worship. During the season of Christmastide, in many Christian households, a gift is given for each of the 12 days of Christmas, while in others, gifts are only given on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, or 12th night, which is the last day of Christmastide. The practice of giving gifts during Christmastide, according to Christian tradition, is symbolic of the presentation of the gifts by the three wise men to the infant Jesus. For the Christian, Christmastide is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, and there are many traditions associated with the season. Buildings and homes are often decorated with nativity scenes. Christmas trees and ornaments encourage a spirit of joy and cheer. Carols are usually sung on Christmas Eve during a candlelight service. Christmastide is perhaps the most beautiful and beloved of Christmas traditions. No matter how it's celebrated, the subject of Christmastide is always the birth of Jesus, of the Savior Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Peace, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, from Isaiah 9:6. As I researched for this message, I found the best meaning I discovered for Christmastide was this. Christmastide is a time to rejoice and feast and to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. It's also a time to reflect on the birth of Jesus and how it gives people a new identity as children of God. I chose my scripture passages this morning because I thought they tied together nicely. The Old Testament reading from Psalms sounded like a celebration to me, and the New Testament reading from Galatians, I felt that it was really talking about the start of a family or creation of a family. A family not only of to each other, but of God. Bear with me as I go through those scripture passages again. The Old Testament reading. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. So what I hear in that scripture passage is this. Shout to joy to the Lord. Burst into jubilant song. Make music with the harp. Shouts of singing with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together. Let them sing before the Lord. If that doesn't sound like a celebration, tell me. And from the New Testament, Galatians 4:4-7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because we are sons, God sent the Spirit into our hearts, the Spirit who called out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. So here again, these are my thoughts, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because we are sons, God sent the Spirit into our hearts. And since you are a son, God made you also an heir. That's just an awesome message that God has chosen us, me, as a son. And he's also made me an heir to his kingdom. That's just an awesome, awesome thought. I would like to share one more passage, scripture passage, as I start my closing. Listen to Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in your body richly and teach you and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, what can we take away from this message today? As a human, I would say this. You should enjoy the spectacle, enjoy the glitz and the glamour, enjoy the romance of the season. But as a Christian, I say this. Embrace the promises. Embrace the star that guides us. Embrace the one true birth. Embrace the story. But always remember the reason. Happy Christmastide to everyone. Would you please pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity given to me today to come and speak with other brothers and sisters in Christ in this place that has been a bastion, a solid place for me for the last 36 years. I so much appreciate everyone here. I so much appreciate the fact that I was able to dig deeper into your word this week, or the last couple of weeks as I prepared this message. But I again thank you for the opportunity to be here, and thank you for each and every one this morning, and give them safe travels as they depart from this place. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.